Yo,
O'Malley.
We're out here. Oh, my God. Our most famous guest to date, UFC bantamweight, contender, Sugar Sean O'Malley.
Yeah, welcome to the Sugar Show, bitch.
What's up, O'Malley? Dude, it's coming off that win.
Yo, I'm so fried, dude. Monty just got me, like, fucking so fried, man.
That's what he does. You're not the first guest
dude,
to...
I do get all of our fighters... super fried. So how are you avoiding USADA?
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you're in the UFC now. Like,
you know, I mean, fuck USADA, dude. USADA can honestly fucking suck my dick.
Oh, shit.
If you want me to be totally honest with you, I'm out here fucking getting blazed right now. Did you hear I got a fucking bong line coming out?
Fuck yeah, dude. You got that sponsorship. You got all that.
Can I get one?
No. No, damn. You can't get one.
Well, you can order one off his Instagram. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you got the link in the bio.
$57 a piece. Okay. Fucking cheap bastard.
Damn, O'Malley.
All right. O'Malley's out here, you know what I'm saying?
Yo, that's dope, though. Shout out to O'Malley.
So like Monty said, like how have you been avoiding the USADA test pool for this long?
Dude,
like,
listen, USADA can suck my fucking dick. I swear.
This is the United States Anti-Doping Agency. Yo.
Oh my God!
What? Right now we have word that a
O'Malley, what the fuck, bro?
And he's failing drug tests left and right.
Yo, what the
and he's
fuck?
Dodging
yo, I'm out,
tests.
You guys.
Yo, O'Malley, what?
No,
what,
fuck
what?
This, yo.
All right.
Fuck you guys.
There goes fuck O'Malley. O'Malley has left the building.
Yeah. What just happened?
I don't know. I think we had a fighter on our
damn
on our as a guest spot, but I guess that fell through, so
close. Another cancel.
Fair enough.
Whatever.
Well, you want to start the show?
Yep. Start it up.
Let's do it. What's up, gang? It's ANA MMA back at you for episode 34.
I can't believe O'Malley bounced on us like that.
Yeah, O'Malley's gone. He had to get out of here real quick. He was about to get drug tested.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? He was keeping the UFC. But we're back. We stuck around. You know what I'm saying?
You know, the good never let you guys down.
Yeah, absolutely. I got new headphones.
Yes.
Everything sounds great.
And you got me a new microphone.
I got you the professional mic. Monty professional mic.
So if you're like, damn, why does Monty sound like a fucking voice of an angel today? Because I got a new microphone.
You always do. Mic or not.
Thanks. Wow. That was a nice one.
Like, thanks.
We're so back out here, though.
You know what I'm saying? It's the week or two before Christmas. Crimbus. Yes.
And the A&A me's are coming up.
Yeah. We're recording on a Monday because I had to work on a Sunday because, you know, holiday hours, I work in retail, all that bullshit.
So big apologies to our new influx of Canadian listeners who probably hate us.
Yeah, shout out to you guys. You know, we weren't really making fun of GSP. We were just kind of talking about the situation.
We were making fun of him.
Yeah, I guess. You didn't sound like GSP, though.
I didn't.
Your old Canadian accent
turned into like a New York City slicker accent.
What you say, my gala needs iron.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. I know you guys don't talk like that.
We'll work on it. Anyway,
don't you know?
Shout out to you guys. Shout out to everyone in Toronto, Altoona, and I believe the other one was Ithaca. What was the other one I sent you?
Is it? I don't know. Ithaca sounds like a mad city that's in like Utah, though. Like, don't that sound like that?
Ithaca,
shit's in Utah.
Something like that. We were the most listened podcast on the network.
You know.
No, I'm sorry, not the most. The second most. Obviously,
you know.
The main show kills us every time.
You know.
But the second most for 2 weeks in a row now because of the Canadian listeners. Shout out to all you guys, man. I appreciate every single one of you that checked us out. What was it? It was Altoona. And
Yeah.
The Altoona.
Ithaca. Yeah, Ithaca.
Altoona has
Toronto, Ithaca, and Altoona.
Double A baseball team that also plays the Akron Rubber Ducks, aka the Akron Arrows, and really? They are called the Altoona Curve. Fun fact for you, Slim.
Really? What did I tell you about that, Mike? See,
I have to talk like this.
That's it. See, don't you sound better?
Yeah, I do.
There it is. See, I told you so.
But and a disclaimer for all you fucking assholes who were like, "Yo, Shaquille O'Neal was at number 33. He was number 33. I said for the Cavs. You fucking jerks. Look at his jersey for the Cavs. He was number 33.
Did someone call us out on that?
No, but I know somebody probably was like, "Dude, Shaquille O'Neal was number 32. He was number 34. Motherfucker, he was 33 when he played for the Cavs. Eat my ass."
Really? He stayed that close in range to the rest of his numbers?
Yes, he was 34, 32, and 33.
All right. Monty Factual.
Yeah, so get the fuck off me.
You know what I'm saying?
Fuck.
Okay. Anyway.
And this is episode 34.
34. What's the episode pertain to?
The Ray Allen episode, because we're shooting in yo bitches from pussies from deep.
Whoa. Ooh, hey.
Clutch three. You know what I'm deck.
Touchdown.
Take that.
Bang, 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 bang. Anyway, I do want to mention that fucking motherfucking, you see my hat? You see what I'm wearing right now? What does that say?
Who is that? Is that Freely?
Freely's
Freely, Freely the God.
He's got a motherfucking show coming up on Freely the 29th. The God. He's opening for motherfucking Chip the Ripper in the Agora in Cleveland, dude. That's going to be huge.
That is going to be wild.
I don't know who else is. I know a couple people tried to jump on that also. But all I know is that I seen the tickets, and it says Chip the Ripper and Freely Spoken.
Yeah. Yeah. I was about to wild call dude out, but I'm not getting
it. No, let's not do that. Anyway, so, yeah, if anyone else is on the show, I'll see shit. You there, I guess. I'll be getting drunk in the crowd anyway.
That's funny.
So, anyway, we're coming off of Fight Night. UFC Fight Night 123, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Swanson right, versus Ortega. This one was in Fresno, California, and I believe they only came in here like one other time. Is that true? Is there some facts to that?
Yeah, so that was actually the... there's been a lot of main events in... Or I'm sorry, there's been a lot of UFC events in Northern California, but never in Fresno.
Hey.
So this was their first time being in Fresno. While, though, there were events in Strikeforce that were in Fresno.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Close relation to the UFC, you know what I'm saying? Speaking of Strikeforce, you know what I did today? What did
you do?
I had today off, you know. So I spent some time looking on my fight pass and whatnot. And I decided, like, you know, since Daniel Cormier is coming up, he's going to fight Volkan Ozdemir.
Right.
I was like, I want to look and see, like, you know... What he used to do at heavyweight. Because I was thinking about the possibility that, okay, let's say Kane beats Francis and DC beats Ozdemir.
Wait, what? Kane beats Francis?
I'm sorry. Stipe beats Francis. I had Kane on the brain. I'll get to that later.
Okay.
Stipe beats Francis and DC beats Ozdemir. So what if they fought? Because Daniel Cormier is undefeated at heavyweight. Never lost a heavyweight. His only loss is to John Jones, technically. Second of all, never lost a heavyweight, and he was very dominant. I watched his fight against Frank Mir, first fight in the UFC, and he just beat up Frank Mir. Like, I've never seen him get, like, dominated like that in the clinch and even on the feet. And I believe he knocked out Roy Nelson as well, or it might have been a decision. I lied on that. Okay. Beat Roy Nelson and then dropped down to light heavyweight where he beat, I forget his name. I think it was Pat Cummings, and then went on to face, I think he fought John Jones after that. Maybe it was one other one. Anyway, regardless, I was just watching DC at heavyweight just because I wanted to see, like, what he was like, you know. Because I seen a picture of him on the headline, on some, like, headlining thing of him, like, looking out of shape on the beach. He had, like, a big old belly going on. And I was like, well, how much weight does he really cut? But he only weighed in at, like, 235 when he fought at heavyweight. You know what I mean? So, he was a very light heavyweight.
Wow, what a beautiful trip into the brain of Slim. That was
amazing. Yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there. I'm sorry. Okay. That's what I spent my day doing. How'd you spend your day, Monty?
Today?
I
worked 8 hours. 8 hours, no break. You know what I'm saying? I don't do that break shit. Fuck that. I'd rather just get off an hour early.
That's fair.
And then I went home and ate some chicken and rice. And here I am.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Here you are.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
So we out here.
So what happened to your eye, Slim?
What's wrong with my eye?
Your eye's pretty fucked up. Your right eyelid's fucked up. No, nope. It's your other one.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not 100% sure. I think I scratched it in my sleep, to be honest. It's like
that's
from
weak.
Here to here, like I don't really know. It kind of stings when I touch it, but I don't
So
really
you weren't even doing some gangster shit like fighting your cat?
No.
Damn, you're weak.
I'm not 100% sure what's going on with that.
You're so silly.
I know. I'm sorry.
Hey, so let's get down to the nitty gritty, cause it's almost 9:30 and I gotta go to worky in the morning, but I gotta make a podcast for you guys and my friends, cause you are my friends.
Brass tacks, let's get it.
I ran out of juice at the end, so let's go ahead and start with the opening fight of the evening. We had undefeated prospect Trevin Giles going up against returning UFC fighter Antonio Braga Neto. So Trevin Giles absolutely displayed pure class and shows that he is going to be a scary prospect coming up in that middleweight division. His striking was very crisp and his strength looks like it might be somewhere in the top of that division.
He was super strong. Apparently, he fought his first fight, I believe, at 205
light
in the UFC.
Heavyweight.
Yeah. And so since cutting down, he says he's got more strength. He's got more stamina, agility, all that. And he surely put it on display here against Braga Neto. And man, like Neto, though, in the second round.
That's Neto.
Neto, I'm sorry. Nate, first of all, I want to say, like, they were pronouncing some names kind of weird in these. And in the later fights.
Okay. We'll get to that.
I think we set him better. Anyway. So, anyway. Antonio Neto, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, has been out for like, what was it, like 2 years?
It was 3.
3 years? Okay. So, coming into this second round, ends up getting the takedown on Trevin Giles. Is it Giles or Giles?
It's Giles.
Giles. Okay. So, ends up pretty much dominating the rest of that round. And Giles ended up finding a way to get back to his feet and took the round back. And then from the rest of the fight, it was all Giles. Like, there was nothing that Antonio could do.
Right.
He got tired in it. That was it.
Yep. And Trevin Giles got the win, moving his unbeaten record to, was 11-0?
Something? Yes.
11-0. Sorry.
I think he might be 12-0 now. Let me see.
Come on, dog. I was relying on you, dog.
Yeah, he's 11-0.
Thanks, man. Damn. But yeah, Trevin Giles moves to 11-0, defeating veteran fighter Antonio Braga Neto with a mean KO there in the third round, 2 minutes and 27 seconds in.
Yeah, like I said, he's wore him out.
Hold that.
You know what I'm saying?
In the next fight.
Chris Glutzmacher.
Glutzmacher.
Against Dobby. Okay, this is one of the ones I was talking about. They kept calling him Hamosh.
Yeah, I think that's how it's said.
Is it? Because it looks like Ramos.
It's Hamos.
But it's they kept putting
I don't know about the sh thing.
Hamosh. They kept putting that on the end, and that's where I was like, I don't know if that's right. Like, even though he's Brazilian, I don't think that's how they do that.
I think they might have a better idea than we do.
I mean, true, but still. All right. So, Davi,
let's just go in the middle and go with Hamos.
That's fine.
I like Hamos.
All right, Hamos. So, anyway, Davi Hamos, he
No Neck Hamos.
Yeah.
That's his nickname.
Not a single neck in his existence, Hamos. Fought his first fight in the UFC at 170, and he's since dropped down to 155. That he thinks that's his more comfortable weight. Glutzmacher was on the, what was it, season 22 of The Ultimate Fighter?
Yeah.
21, something like that. I don't know. I think it was the Uriah Faber series, or season, anyway. He's been at the lightweight division, and he's got 2 wins and one loss coming into this fight. So, we knew that Hamos was going to try to get it to the ground, and he was kind of not having as much success in the first couple rounds.
True.
You know, Glutzmacher was doing a good job of stifling the takedown, keeping it on the feet, making it dirty. But in the third round, Hamos, his corner said, yo, you got to get him down. You got to get him to the ground, and that's exactly what he did. Got his bag, sunk in the choke.
Rear naked choke, 50 seconds into the third round.
That was it.
So, Davi Hamos, you like that song? Hold that. Gets the win over Glutzmacher.
Glutzmacher.
Which I guess it's Glutzmacher, but whatever.
Yeah, it's fine.
So, in the next fight.
Alejandro Perez against Yuri Alcantara.
Oh, by the way, we Slim murked me on this card.
Yep.
Yay! Slim's first time just whooping my bitch ass.
Yes! You needed it.
Yeah, I did. I needed to knock it off my pedestal.
Needed it.
So, Slim's back up here with me.
Go ahead, tell him how it went.
I'll count him out for him here at the end. But we both bet on Trevin Giles, and then Slim picked Devi Hamos over Gritsmacher.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, he got me on that one. So, Slim's up right now, 2-0. Slim with a perfect day so far.
Yes. Going into this next fight, Alejandro Perez against Yuri Alcantara. Alcantara making his bantamweight debut. This fight, I thought it was going to be a banger,
and
but...
it pooped the bed.
Oh, man. This one was a slump fest. I mean, their total strikes landed 38 by Perez, 39 by Alcantara. Whereas if you go back one fight to Gritsmacher, 57 by him, 65 by Hamos. I mean, it's just insane.
Yeah, this was definitely one of the bigger sleepers on the card.
But I thought it was going to do so much better. You know, Alcantara, he's known for his just like getting in there and brawling it up. And
then Perez, who just changed his name to Turbo, came out being not very Turbo.
Nope.
But regardless, he got the decision, unanimous win.
Honestly, this fight could have went either way. Yeah, I could have seen the judge. If the judge would have scored it for Alcantara, I could have been
I thought Perez took it late there in the third round. Mm. But
and that might have scored the whole fight. What were the scorecards?
Alejandro Perez defeated Yuri Alcantara via unanimous decision, 30-27, 29-28,
29-28. That's fair.
And that was the preliminary card on UFC Fight Pass.
Hell yeah.
Pay your $10, assholes.
Assholes.
In the next fight, the very first fight on the preliminary card on Fox Sports 1, we had
Frankie Sanez.
Signs.
Against Merlab.
Davalishvili.
Davalishvili.
There you go.
Nice.
Yeah, so basically the entire fight was Davalishvili trying to take Signs down and Signs just displaying being a veteran fighter. And
11 of 23 takedowns by Davalishvili.
Yeah.
That's insane, man. 23 takedown attempts.
But nothing, dude. Ended up...
50, almost 50%.
I know, but still, he didn't get to really do anything with it.
That's fair.
And Signs, despite getting taken down 11 times, knew exactly how to pull this fight out.
And how to get it going, yeah.
Yeah, and he was just... What was the top time? Give me the top time, Slim.
So, Davalishvili had 7 minutes and 46 seconds of top control, and Frankie had 19 seconds.
Yeah.
So that just shows that I feel like the judge is getting a little more, like, educated.
Yeah.
Not even that, but, like, takedowns don't mean as much anymore. Whereas, in like, 10 years ago, takedowns meant everything. If you got that takedown at the end of the round, that was the last thing the judges saw, and it was like, boom, I won the round. Because I got that takedown. But now it's like, well, you know, he's kind of getting beat up, but he got the takedown. Yeah, he still lost.
Mm-hmm. I gotcha. Well, that's exactly how they saw it. And right. Frankie Signs ended up getting the split decision over Merab Davalishvili, 29-28, 29-28. And the other judge saw it 29-28 for Davalishvili. So Frankie Signs moves to 12-5 in the UFC. I made that up, but whatever. What? Hey, did I get that right?
No, not at all. 12-5 in the UFC?
Or 12-5 in his fucking career, whatever. And Merab Davalishvili now, wasn't that his debut?
I'm pretty sure that was his debut. So.
Drops his debut in the UFC.
That's fine.
So, moving on to another bantamweight fight, the third one in a row, we had
Carlos John de Thomas, who we seen against Ninoki Noi a little bit earlier in the year in June. I love saying the name, I don't know why. Against Alex, Alex Perez, who was the Dana White Contender Series winner. What episode was that? I'm kidding, I expect you to know. But so the Dana White Contender Series winner, he's only 25 years old. Okay, cool. So he got his win by Anaconda Choke, correct?
Yes.
And very similar fashion, did the exact same thing in this fight.
So this dude's won 4 or I'm sorry, he's won 3 of his last 4 fights by anaconda choke.
That's nuts, dude.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
I think Swanson can learn a thing or two from him.
Ooh,
I mean, not Swanson. I mean, Ortega. Because he tried to get that initially, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, going. So yeah, Perez getting the sub in the second round against Carlos de Thomas, the golden boy.
Yeah, Alex Perez with a beautiful performance. And yeah, got the W.
Perez goes to 19-4 now. Like, definitely one to watch out for. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, and dude's only 25 years old.
For sure. That's great.
So we'll see what he can do next. We'll see who they got coming up for Alex Perez in the next fight.
Our boy, the one to show us some love first.
Sukumtath.
Andre Sukumtath going up against Luke Coolhand Sanders.
Yeah, so Sukumtath fucking pulled one out of his butt, bro.
Man, he was on 2 losses in the UFC, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I didn't think he was really doing too much there in that first round to show that he was going to take over this fight, but
no.
We come out into the second round. We have a couple exchanges. Boom! Sukumtath with a nasty right hand. And Sanders went down, came up with a little bit of ground and pound. It only took about 5 seconds for him to be on top.
Right.
Fight was called.
Yep. Sanders was claiming it was an early stoppage, but I think it was pretty just.
I mean,
now watching back, I mean,
it wasn't too bad. I mean, it was arguable. I guess from Sanders' standpoint, but
I've seen worse. Yeah, I'll say that.
So, yeah,
so Andre getting his win. Dude, do you see the memes that came out?
No, I didn't.
Oh, some shit from some movie I don't remember, but
shit was good.
Yeah, I'll show you later.
Okay, nice. Yeah, so our dude,
shout
Andre
you, Sukumtath,
with the TKO, getting his very first victory in the UFC.
He is now 12-5.
Yeah, and Luke Sanders, who had came into the UFC unbeaten, got that first win in the UFC against Maximo Blanco with a performance of the night, has now lost his last 2 fights by stoppage.
Oh dear.
So
cool. Oh dear. We've seen him before. Oh dear.
We'll see. Not again.
No. Oh no.
Moving on to the featured bout on the Fox Sports 1 preliminary card, we had
Alexis Davis versus Liz Carmouche.
Yeah, so Slim and I
Go back.
All right, so we both picked Alejandro Perez, moving Slim to 3-0, and me to 2-1.
Correct.
And then in the next fight, we both picked Mehrab Dvalishvili, so Slim moved to 3-1, and I was 2-2. And then we both picked Alex Perez, so Slim's 4-1, I'm 3-2. And then Slim picked Andre Sukumtath, and I picked Luke Sanders.
My boy.
So, Slim, I mean, you did a good job. All right.
Thanks, bud.
Whatever. So, your record therefore went to 5-1, and I was 3-3.
About time I did something right.
All right. So, yeah. Alexis Davis.
Said, Alexis Davis.
And we both picked Liz Carmouche.
Yeah, we both. Anyway, Alexis Davis versus Liz Carmouche in this one.
So,
my God, Alexis Davis came out looking like not even human.
Oh, what would you call? What'd she look like?
Chunk from the Goonies.
Oh,
give her a baby Ruth. My God.
Oh, no.
My God.
No.
Yo, my girl looked like she had a fucking tumor.
Slim, no. Damn.
Did you see her on the post?
Stop making Shorty's hematoma.
I'll make anyone with a hematoma, because I've never had a hematoma. Anyway. Yeah, Alexis Davis getting the dub, but man.
Yo, what the... Hey, the doctor came in, that bitch, like, Alexa, oh my God. Jesus Christ. They said it was bad, but Jesus Christ, look at your fucking eye.
look at your temple.
Good God, I'm going to have to fucking put a needle and suck the fucking blood out of that thing.
It's like you just learned a new skill. Like, what is that?
Your fucking brain got bigger.
Is that a leech?
Well, here comes the New York accent. Sean would be like, yeah. fucking Sean.
Yeah.
That's so anyway, it. What? Fuck. All right. I thought Liz Carmouche did enough to take the fight, but the judges didn't see that way.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the same as well, but...
Alexis Davis ended up getting the nod, 29-28, 29-28, and one judge saw it 29-28 for Liz Carmouche, so...
Carmouche had 4 of 4 takedowns. She controlled the top for 6 minutes and 33 seconds.
You know what I'm saying?
Davis had it for 5 minutes and 50 seconds, and she landed at least 60 more total strikes than Alexis Davis.
Davis, you know, threatened with a couple submissions that were tight, but other than that, what'd she do?
I don't know, man.
And why do they have motherfucking Alexis Davis fighting on the undercard of every Cub Swanson headlining card fight? Get the fuck out of here.
Maybe they're on the same team.
I don't know. I guess that wouldn't make sense. But
anyway, yeah, don't leave it in the hand of the judges. I mean, that's what you gotta do.
As Slim said, so Liz Carmouche will drop her record to 11-6. She's now lost her last 3 out of 5 fights. So a little bit of a rough run going for Liz Carmouche.
Alexis Davis getting her second win in a row.
Yeah.
So we go on to another. That was a FS1 prelims.
Yes, and that Slim moved to 5-2, and I moved to a cool 3-4.
Bada boom. So we go on to the main card, rather.
Yes.
Benito
Golden Boy.
What's his name? Golden Boy?
Also? It's Golden Boy.
Okay. Wasn't Carl Thomas the Golden Boy also? Or did I fuck that up?
No, he's the Golden Boy.
Okay, cool. Two Golden Boys on this card. Against Albert Morales, who is a feared striker. So this fight came out. Benito Lopez.
Also a slept on purple belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Don't sleep on him. He trains with
the
Gracies.
True. So Benito Lopez coming out, landing a couple nice strikes. But the one that mattered was he threw a jumping flying knee.
After he had gotten dropped.
Right. Just got dropped, got back up, threw a jumping flying knee. Albert Morales got dropped himself. And then, you know, Benito Lopez starts, like, piecing him up on the cage. It looked like Holloway versus, who was that one that he, like, was like, yo, let's stand here and throw down.
Ricardo Lamas.
Yeah, Ricardo Lamas. It looked like that for a second. Like, they were just fucking throwing wide hooks back and forth. And then they broke apart for a second. Morales started to come in. Benito Lopez, boom, another flying knee, dropped Morales again.
Yeah.
But didn't capitalize on it, and, Morales got back to his feet, and I mean, it was a pretty even fight from there. Honestly, I mean, Lopez might have won this fight in the judges' eyes only via that first round, because I could have seen it going for Morales, honestly.
But the judges did not see that way. One judge actually somehow had it 30-27.
Yeah, no, I did. I seen Benito absolutely winning that first round, but I totally thought Morales would have came back at least to get it one other one, but shouts out to Golden Boy, man. He stayed in there.
Yeah, and he got it done. So Benito Lopez moves to a cool perfect. Is he 9-0 now? I'm sorry, I don't got it up. I don't got my shit up today.
Look, it is 8-0.
Okay. No, he's not. There's no way. He's
8-0. Why?
Is he 8-0? All right.
Yes.
You're probably right. He is now 8-0 as a professional, and Albert Morales has now lost three. Yeah, so in his 5-fight UFC career, he has 1 win, 3 losses, and 1 draw. Yikes.
Yikes. He did show some promise in that fight, though.
I mean, he goes in there and throws. He has good fights, but I don't know, man. We'll see if he can pull one off.
It happens.
Now, moving on. Former Alabama and Cleveland Browns linebacker, yes, Eric Anders.
I was excited for this one.
Going up against Brazilian Marcus Perez.
Man, Eric Anders looked completely dominant.
He fights like a Alabama linebacker.
Dude, he looked so good in the striking. Like, I just wanted him to stay on the feet the whole time.
Yeah, so dude is really a problem there in that middleweight division. And
I mean, he's throwing with reckless abandon. He wanted to knock him out in every strike. And it showed. I mean, he was doing great. Perez, I believe he had some ground. A little bit of ground control in the first round, but... it was pretty much just all Eric Anders in that fight.
Eric Anders is a fucking animal, and I can't wait to see who they give him next. He's beaten Rafael Natal, and he's beaten Marcus Perez, so
Maybe give him somebody just outside the, you know, ranked fighters. See what he can do.
I agree. My man is a problem. Isn't his nickname the problem?
It's your boy.
Your boy. Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, in the next fight, we had Scott Hot Sauce Holtzman going up against Daryl Horcher.
Daryl Horcher. You really make him sound exciting.
I mean, he's got the wackest. The Saint. Whack as fuck.
You don't like the Saint?
I mean, he fought Khabib, so he's dope.
You don't like the Saint Horcher? Daryl Horcher is now
that's advancing. That's just so to... whack. They gave you Khabib when you came into the UFC. Yeah, like, that's grimy as fuck.
That's sad. Sorry, Horcher.
That is so fucking grimy.
Well, they must have thought highly of him then, that he could take on an undefeated fighter like Khabib.
Fuck out of here with that.
Anyway. So, Scott Holtzman advances 2-4-2 in the UFC, and Horcher goes to 1-2.
Yeah, Hot Sauce dominated that fight the entire time. He was on top. Give me a time, Slim.
9 minutes and 47 seconds.
The entire time, pretty much. So
basically.
A dominating win for Hot Sauce Holtzman, 30-27 across the board. In the next fight.
This was this was the one I was honestly looking most forward to. This was such a big, like, pave the way for the bantamweight division. Marlon Magic Moraes going up against Aljamain, the Funkmaster Sterling. Marlon Moraes coming off that win over, what's his name? He fought John DJ Dodson? Twice. Yeah, John Dodson. Yeah, wow. That wasn't that long ago. How long ago was that? Like, what, a month and a half?
Yeah, literally. Like a couple weeks ago.
Literally. Not that long ago at all. That dominant three-round win over him. And Aljamain Sterling, I believe he was coming off a win as well.
It wasn't dominant. It was a split decision, but whatever.
Really? I had him winning that fight the whole time. Anyway, Marlon Moraes, Aljamain Sterling coming off that dominant win over Hannah Burrell, looking amazing against the former champ. I was super excited to see what Aljamain Sterling could do. I had him pulling away in this fight, but man, Marlon Moraes, what did they stop for? They stopped in the action for a second. Was it a nut kick or was it a...
I believe it was a eye poke,
something like that. Either way, they stopped the action for a second, then got back into it, and Marlon Moraes threw a head kick. Aljamain Sterling happened to go for a takedown, but a boom!
Yep.
One of my contenders for knockout of the year. Just like that.
I don't think so.
Bro, so Aljamain did the dab. He landed on his back and went...
Oh,
he did the dab, dude. He did the dab.
You're grimy. He did.
You know what I'm saying?
But, I mean, that's the first time he's ever been stopped in his career.
Right.
It was kind of a, I wouldn't say lucky, but it was a well-timed,
that was very well-timed.
Skilled shot by Marlon.
Where does that put Marlon Moraes?
I mean, he's definitely...
I think he gets the winner of John Lineker and... who is that? Who is he fighting at 219?
I don't know, but Marlon Moraes versus John Lineker is definitely fire.
Ricardo Lamas. I want to see him fight.
Damn. Move him up that much?
He's number four, dude. He was number four going into this, I'm pretty sure.
He's number seven, dog.
Oh. Well, now he's probably number four. I'll put him up there.
All right, damn. We'll see what he can do.
That's not going to be nice, man.
He's up there. So Marlon Magic Moraes gets the mean KO victory over Aljamain Sterling, which earned him a performance of the night. Let me catch you guys up on my ass whooping. So we both picked Benito Lopez, moving Slim to 6-2, while I moved to 4-4. We both picked Eric Anders, moving Slim to 7-2. And I moved to 5-4. We both picked... I don't know. I don't remember our picks from this point on.
From the point on?
Mm-hmm. I don't remember our picks.
Okay. Well, I won.
You definitely won, though.
All right. That's fine.
You know what I'm saying?
We'll have to listen back.
Wild fried
if
right
you,
now.
If
I'm
you fried been, out of my if mind. If you've been listening, listener... Let us know.
They're like, we're not even keeping track. We don't give a fuck. Just go.
Yeah. I don't even know.
Moving on to the featherweight division.
I'm not Canadian.
We had Gabriel Benitez going up against Jason Kneepads Knight.
Number Is that really his name?
No.
Fuck. Number 15 ranked contender, Jason Knight. But man, what? Like what?
Got his ass murked on, boy. Gabriel Benitez
is like the entire time. Fucking Jason Knight bit Gabriel's fingers.
Yeah, what the fuck was that all about?
Gabriel Benitez went for like it wasn't even like a clinch. It was like he was like had his arm over and fucking Jason Knight was just like, we're in a fight. Fuck it.
Dink.
Like a fucking carrot, and Benitez instantly pulled his hand out like, ow, 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 ow. Looking like fucking Mario, like
yeah, that shit was super rude. I have no clue why he bit him like that. That was not nice.
So the ref took a point away, and that totally just added to Benitez's advantage. But I mean, Benitez pretty much got that fight under control from there.
Yes. So
Benitez won by what? Decision by what?
You tell
me.
Unanimous.
Yeah. By what? But with his scopes.
So, Gabriel Benitez defeated Jason Knight via unanimous decision 30-26, 30-26, and one judge saw it
29-27. Oh. All right. I'm going to give it the 30-26, but yeah, that way. Anyway, so on to the main fight. This is one I've been excited about for a while. Brian T-City Ortega coming in. The only fighter in the UFC right now to have 4 wins in the 3rd round of stoppage.
In a row.
Like, that's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Against Cub Swanson, who's been on, like, quite a bit of a run as of late. He beat Duho Choi earlier this year. He beat Artem Lobov. He beat Takeu... I'm sorry, what was his name?
I'm sorry, I wasn't looking.
I can't read his name.
Where are you at?
The August fight. Tatsuya Kawajari? Is that how you say it?
Are we talking about Cub Swanson?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm so fried right now.
Tatsuya.
I'm way fried out of the show right now.
Kawajari, I believe is his name. No, and he also beat
definitely homeboy Tatsuya Kawajiri.
Cool. Very close. And also Hakran Diaz. Since coming off that loss to Max Holloway in 2015, he's been on a little bit of a tear lately, getting 3 wins in 2016 and 1 in 2017 so far. And this was his last fight of his contract, so people wanted to know, like, what was Cub going to do? Is he going to come out here and just fucking knock out this young up-and-comer Brian Ortega? Or was Brian going to put the hurting on him and... Man, I didn't know. When this fight first started, Cub Swanson came out looking very crisp. Mm-hmm. His striking looked excellent. He had Brian Ortega backing up the entire first round. And then come to the end of the first round, Ortega just like... And I don't even know how he did it. He like latched up on him, getting an anaconda choke, and just like tripping Cub Swanson's legs and getting to the ground.
So right.
Got him down there. He's trying to lock it up. We all thought it was going to stop, but it didn't. The bell rang. So then we go out to the second round. Same thing goes on. Cub Swanson starts putting on a clinic with the striking. Just cutting through the guard and everything of Brian Ortega. And Brian was like, nah, I don't want to do that anymore. So we got him up against the cage. And hot for a leaping standing guillotine. You rarely see this ever in fights. But Ortega got it in. Cub Swanson tries to shake him off. And then he actually switched hand position to get a better position and then went back for it. Cub Swanson literally, like, he tapped pretty quick after that. And he came out in his post-fight interview and said, I thought I was going to die.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much of a hurt Ortega has on him. Like, or on anyone in this division.
Yeah.
That's insane, dude.
Dude's a problem. And
my God.
Maybe it's time for him to get a... possible, you know, fight.
I don't think he jumps. He's possible for him to get a fight.
Give him a fight.
I don't think he jumps Frankie Edgar at all. Dog. But I think he gets the winner of Holloway or
he's beaten Edgar. Thiago Tavares, Diego Brandão, Clay Guida, Renato Moicano, who was unbeaten at the time.
Right. And we've seen that.
Cub Swanson.
Yeah, but I don't think he jumps Edgar. Is what I'm saying. I think he gets the winner of Edgar versus Holloway.
Hmm.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
If you say so. But both of these guys are always good for a fight of the night. Cub Swanson's third fight of the night in a row. His last three fights have all been fight of the nights. Yeah. And then...
they need Cub back in the UFC.
We have Brian Ortega, who, out of his last five UFC fights, has three fight of the night awards. Holy shit.
Ortega is a holy dog.
Shit.
Was he only like 25, 26? The cool thing about Ortega is, okay, so he chokes out Cub Swanson. 20 taps, blah, blah, blah. He walks up to the Dana White cage side, and everyone's like, oh, yeah. You couldn't hear him, obviously. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, he's probably saying, like, yeah, let me get the bell. It's my time for a title shot. It's my time. I'm in here. I'm going to take away the division. But no, what he was saying was, hey, Dana White, what I want to do is, I want to use this gift of this pedestal that I have now, that my name's out there, and I want to give back to other people. So Dana White said, yo, we'll talk about it later, dude. Like, you know, from the cage side, he was like, yo, we'll talk about it later. And he gets on the mic, does exactly that, says he wants to help other people in need. And even every single post-fight speech he did, he said, yo, I don't want to be another guy just calling out other guys and blah, blah, blah. I do believe Frankie Edgar deserves the title shot, and I want to use this kind of like ladder of promotion that he obtained to help other people.
You know, so fucking dope.
Wants to donate to charities, and just you don't see that anymore.
Right.
You literally don't see fighters get on this platform and do that. It was just so cool to see that.
Yeah, so
like respect
big fucking
to Ortega.
Shout out to Brian Ortega.
We're with you, Ortega. We're with
We're
you.
We're on your time. Side, my man.
Big time.
So Brian, T-City Ortega defeated Cub Swanson via flying guillotine. 3 minutes and 22 seconds into the second round.
Yoink!
So, Slim finished me out. Cold on that card. Yep, did man. Me wrong, bruh.
And Ortega finally gets his not third round finish.
Mm-hmm. Second round.
You know what I'm saying?
Late second round.
You know what I'm saying? I thought it was early. It was middle.
It was 3 minutes and 22 seconds fine. In.
Anyway, yeah. Not a third round finish for Ortega. Good for you.
Yeah. So, that was UFC 123 at Fresno.
Yeah. Fresno. It was a good one. I mean, I enjoyed this card.
Yeah, it was good. I had a good time with it. Mm-hmm, yeah. I got mad fried. I mean, it was lightweight trash. It was one of the least fun ones since Norfolk, but whatever.
I don't know about that. I think the one that lasted 3 hours, that was
maybe like, maybe
I like this one. I don't know. I seen the positive in it. I don't know.
Maybe I'm hollering. Maybe I'm stupid.
I don't know. I'm gonna we're gonna take a break. We're gonna come back and talk about the fight night between Dos Anjos and motherfucking Robbie Lawler. And yeah, we'll be back for
get
that.
Cracking.
I'm gonna play a new
get it cracking.
I'm gonna play a new Freely song while we go out.
Ooh, new Freely.
No Freely. He's coming up with new shit every day.
It's a new Freely.
Here we go.
Clouds clearing up, moms tearing up. You won't find no fear in us. My clouds clearing up, my mom's tearing up. No, you won't find no fear in us, no fear in us. Yo, my clouded vision started clearing up. Whether win or lose, yo, I got my mom's tearing up. Because she proud of me. Inspiration she helped find it in me. While my older homies, they just found it envy. Cause all my time has been spent on this craft. And all that they think is that I'm turning my back. Like, how you not gonna chase what's right on the path? And lately what I've been chasing, I feel like I'm deserving that. But that's not like me.
It's not.
I must be tripping like I'm sipping on a spiked drink. If this is out of reach, then what got my grip tightening? I'm telling y'all this might be more than a dream. For this, I am more than a fiend. I'm trying to make my girl more than a queen. Cause when I'm with her, I feel like more than a bean. More than, but never less of a king.
Thank you.
Hey guys, this is Slim from the A&A MMA podcast and the main show, and I'm here to tell you about Toad Sage Skateboarding and Photography. Go check him out. He's got a Facebook page. He's on YouTube. He does all sorts of things. He makes me look good, obviously, taking pictures at my show, and a ton of skateboarding videos and just nature photos in general. So go check him out, my good friend. He makes some sick shit. Now, enjoy the show.
Living life like a pirate, took a 9 by it. Back then they ain't mind us, going hard since a minor. On point like a stylist, you ain't a thug, you a stylist. Act wild, trade pound, put your brain on the die. Had my niggas the minute, I'm going hard as some minutes. Got my first mill at 20 so that I never forget it. Thinking back how we started, came alive in that darkness. Duffing random niggas
out. Woo, that new dash about to come out soon, like 2 days, I think.
Oh yeah, I forgot you were hip to dash.
What?
You're not the only, I'm not hip to dash.
Oh.
You're not the only dollar sign rapper.
Yeah. You know, it's me, it's Dash, it's,
Ty Dolla Sign.
Ty Dolla Sign, it's, I think it was one more.
H Money?
Oh yeah, H Money Money. I was just talking to him, well, we're on break, he's from Pittsburgh, shout out to him. Okay. Me and Freely Spoken fuck with him heavy. We're about to get him on a song pretty quick. Yo, I know. Okay, so I want to say this real quick. So I know I in previous episodes, it was like over summer, we said, or I said that bad habits, you know,
bad habits.
Me and Freely's little, you know, like Labatt Blue, like,
yeah, we got it.
Labatt, okay. So me and Freely's group, me and him together. We were going to drop a tape, you know, either at the end of the summer or around this time right now. So,
this time next year?
No, this time right now. I said this over summer, and I said like, oh, we were going to drop it in the wintertime. So, so here's the thing. Okay, so, and I might even take my own personal songs off the internet.
Wow.
So
I'm going on a music hiatus?
So I'm gonna put out some real shit right now. So my first mixtape, I never really talked to any of the producers. I just kind of like found them on the internet, the beats on the internet. It was like, oh hey, I'm gonna use this. Brought them to the studio and used them. I didn't pay the producers.
Okay, you're ratting yourself out.
I am because I'm gonna take it off the internet because I feel like I did wrong. And I'm trying to right my wrongs. And Chance is doing the same thing. Like, every beat of every producer he's dropped recently is paid for. And he is, like, in touch with the producer. Like, I just recently got in touch with a guy. I'm in the full disclosure. I recorded the song before I did. But then I hit him up because I want to release it soon. He's from Germany. His name is Snare. And he's dope as fuck. And I bought 2 beats from him. And, you know, it cost me a pretty penny. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So those are the beats that I'm going to go forward with. And same with our mixtape together. Like the mixtape, the songs that we have recorded that we have hit up the producer, talked to, paid for the beats, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Those are what we're going to go forward with. But everything else that we did previously, which is like, you know, 2016-ish era, I don't know if you guys will ever hear those unless we can work it out with the producer, which we haven't been able to do yet. So
none of that other shit, though.
What?
That stolen bullshit.
No, that's what I'm saying. We're trying to do it right. Like, I don't want to come across as like some dude that just like hears some shit on the internet and like, you know, just like, oh yeah, I'm gonna do a Gucci Gang remix.
Gucci Gang.
First of all, I hate when rappers record songs over other rappers' beats. Like, I think that shit's corny as fuck. Like, ooh, take your lyrics and put it onto your own song and maybe you'll blow up then and be original. Don't fucking like do a fucking remix of something else. Like, I think that shit's whack as fuck. Second, like I said, I don't want to put out any music that's, you know, not legit. And that's what I feel like I did in the past. So, like I said, like, that's why it's taking me a little bit longer to even come out with my own music and to come out with me and Freely's tape because, you know, we're trying to do this legit.
Confessionals.
We're trying to be on the right path and we're trying to, you know, make this
Okay, we believe you. It's
no,
fine.
But I was thinking about it because I listened back to our episode. I was like, oh yeah, this tape's about to come out in the winter. And now it's winter and I'm like, ah, well, it's going to take a little more time.
Bro.
So this is for our real listeners that have listened since, you know, the almost beginning. that they're wondering, like, oh, I thought Slim said he was going to drop a tape with Freely Spoken. Well, we will. Just it's going to take a little longer.
Be patient.
You know what I'm saying?
For Slim.
Patience is a virtue.
So let's go ahead and preview UFC on Fox, Lawler versus Dos Anjos.
Let's do that. Let's do that.
AKA Fox, UFC on Fox 26.
You know what I'm saying? 26, so, I thought it was 20...
26 billion.
Is it 26 already?
UFC on Fox 26, 26.
Bitch. Okay, okay. So in the first fight we have...
Okay.
Nordine Taleb against...
That part.
Danny Hot Chocolate Roberts.
Yeah, Nordine Taleb coming in with a 13-4 record.
He just won just recently, right?
Just beat Oliver Ancamp there at UFC Gustafson versus Teixeira. Before that, he had lost to Santiago Ponzinibbio, and he had a nasty KO against Eric Silver the fight before that. Does also have a win over Li Jinglong.
And we got Danny Roberts coming in here. He is 3-1 in the UFC, only coming off one loss against Mike Perry. All his wins in the UFC so far have been by stoppage.
Yeah, so...
I'm going to go ahead and take Danny Roberts in this one. Hot chocolate.
I want to go ahead and follow suit. I'm going to go ahead and take Hot Chocolate also. ANA MMA official pick. We're going with Hot Chocolate, Danny Roberts.
Nice.
In the next fight,
we got Eric Silva, former super big prospect, coming up against Jordan Younggun Mean,
the Canadian. We just saw Jordan Mean lose against Bilal Muhammad. He lost against Emil Weber Meek, a.k.a. Emil Meek, back last year, and he also took a loss to Thiago Alves. So my dude on a little bit of a skid here going up against Eric Silva.
Like I said, super big prospect in the UFC when he was coming in against in 2011. He got that first one knockout at the first, I believe it was one of the first UFCs in Rio de Janeiro.
It was 134. Yeah, he got the 42nd knockout.
Yeah. And then his next fight was ruled a disqualification, and then he got his next win against Charlie Brennavin by submission, but then he's gone on a loss-win streak. It was ruled a disqualification loss, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So then he went win-loss-win-loss-win-loss-win-loss. So my man might be due for a win, you know what I'm saying? Eric Silva, 33, coming in here against... What's Jordan Mean looking like, the Canadian?
They've both been really struggling as of late.
Jordan Mean coming off 3 losses in a row, one recent to Bilal Muhammad at UFC 213.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and pick...
I'll go with Silva.
This is a shit-the-bed fight, but...
I'm going to go with Silva.
I'll go ahead and go out on a limb and pick Jordan Mean in this one.
Disagree
on this one. Monty's going with Jordan Means. Slim's going to go with Eric Silva.
Very nice.
In the next fight,
we have Alessio Di Chirico.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it? Against Olawale Bambose?
Olawale Bambose.
Bambose. Who, didn't he just lose against Borchinha?
He did.
Nice. Whereas we have Di Chirico coming off a loss against Eric Spicely.
Yeah, so it seems Alessio Di Chirico does his best work against people who aren't really up there, and it seems that Olawale Bambose can't get past the top of his division also. So
nah, he's just kind of an awkward fighter. I mean, his stance is, I don't know, it's just very odd. He does have 100% KO rate in his wins, but or TKO/KO wins, but... I don't know. I'm going to go with Chirico in this one.
I'm going to go ahead and pick Olawale Bambose in this one.
Ooh.
ANA going to disagree again.
Okay.
Picking Alessio Di Chirico, and I'm going with Olawale Bambose. In the next fight,
John McDessie?
Yep.
McDessie, the Bull, the Canadian, against Abel Trujillo.
Trujillo.
Oh, this fight's this is in Winnipeg. That's why there's so many Canadians on the card.
You got some.
You know what I'm saying?
You're on to something.
You know what I'm saying? Anyway, Trujillo coming off against a loss against James Vick. No no hard feelings there. He had three wins right before that and coming off a loss against Tony Ferguson. So seems to me when he does fight the top competition, he kind of falters a little bit, but, you know, to be expected against those fighters.
I'm going to go ahead and pick Abel Trujillo in this one.
We didn't even talk about the bull.
Yeah, because, I mean, he lost his last one to Lando Venata. Then the fight before that, he had beaten Mehdi Baghdad, but lost to Yancy Medeiros, lost to Donald Cerrone. Dude's just...
No, I'm going to pick Trujillo, too. The killer. The killer! Killer, yeah, killer!
I got a wild growth on my thumb. That's scary.
You got a wart, my guy?
No, dude, it's like a growth. That's scary as fuck.
All right.
Monty Cancer reveal.
What? No, don't say that.
In the next fight.
Jesus Christ. We got Tim Elliott against newcomer Pietro Menga? Pietro Menga? Is that his?
Pietro Menga, who is from England.
What do you got on him?
It's probably Pietro.
I got no stats on him. What do you got on him?
So he is 13-0, unbeaten. He fought in Bellator. He fought in Bama, BAMMA. And other than that, my dude's unbeaten. He gets most of his work done in the first round, and he is a submission artist. He's only ever had two fights have to go to decisions. So,
coming up against Tim Elliott, who's been in the game forever.
Just fought for a title not too long ago.
Yeah, he did against a loss against Demetri Johnson. He's coming off a win against Luis Smoka this year and a loss against Ben Wynn. So let's see if he can make it 1-2 in 2017. I'm going to go ahead and go with Tim Elliott.
Ooh, ballsy pick. I'm going to take the newcomer. I think this dude might be the real deal. I'm going to pick Pietro Menga.
Nice. I liked what Tim was able to do against Luis Smoka in that fight. Okay. So we'll see.
In the next fight,
we have Chad Laprise, the Disciple, against Galor Bafondo. From the Congo.
Yeah, who won his last fight in the UFC via throwing Charlie Ward on his face.
Oh, was that one?
Yeah, literally slammed Charlie Ward and knocked him out. All right, that was at Gunny versus Ponzinibbio.
Sent him to Bellator, huh?
Yep,
literally. We got Chad Laprise coming off two TKO wins himself against... I can't read that. One is Brian Camozzi and the other...
All of Galor Bafondo's losses are because he's landed illegal knees. Both of them are from illegal knees.
Damn.
He's never actually lost a fight.
Oh, shit. Chad Laprise, he was on the Ultimate Fighter Nations winner in 2014.
Yeah, and he's been on a bit of a roll lately, beating Brian Camozzi and the Ball Goatee. But
thank you. I couldn't say that one. Thank you.
I'm going to pick Galor Bafondo in this one.
I'm going to go with Chad Laprise.
Ooh, A&A going to disagree on this one.
The Monty Canadian Disciple
is picking Galor Bafondo, and Slim's going to go with Chad Laprise.
Hell yeah.
In the next fight,
we have a middleweight matchup against the Cuban Missile Crisis, Julian Marquez, Dana White's Contender Series winner.
Best who won, if you remember, Monty's knockout of the year for Dana White's Contender Series.
KO of the year.
With that vicious head kick. And we just saw Darren Stewart fight another UFC Dana White's Contender Series fighter in Carl Robertson just a couple weeks ago, November 11th.
And he took an L to that, and he's so far two L's and one no contest in the UFC.
Yes, that is correct.
The Englishman.
That is correct.
I'm going to go ahead and go with the Cuban Missile Crisis in this one.
All right. A&A MMA going to agree on this one. We're going with Julian Marquez.
Nice.
In the next fight, the featured bout on the preliminary card on Fox Sports 1.
I like this one. Jan Błachowicz.
Błachowicz
coming off that pretty dominant win in Poland against Devin Clark. How did he win that one? Wasn't it by like a nasty like standing choke or something like that?
I'm pretty sure it was. He did.
Devin Clark?
Yeah, it was. They were like up against the cage and he like just reached around and got a bulldog choke.
Oh, yeah, that's bulldog. That's what it was. Against Jared Cannonier, who's coming off a win of his own against Nick Roerich.
Yeah.
And a loss against Trevor Trekley. But I mean, like, come on. You know, I mean,
and he lost to Sean Jordan. So he's only, he's lost to the legends in the game.
3-2 in the UFC, you know what I'm saying?
And then on the other hand, we got Jan Blachowicz, who showed some life in his last fight. Mm-hmm. I thought he was down and out, but he's coming back at him. But
coming back,
I'm actually going to go ahead and pick Jared Cannonier in this one.
Ooh, I am going to do the same.
ANA MMA official pick. We're going to go ahead and pick Jared Cannonier.
The Killer Gorilla.
And that is on Fox Sports 1, the preliminary card. Let's move on to the main card on Fox.
Man, this one is such a banger.
This is going to be a good one.
Glover Teixeira against Misha Cirkunov.
Yeah.
Like I said in a previous episode, Glover Teixeira, since the UFC rankings came out, has never dropped below number 5.
Will this be the fight that does it for him?
I don't think so. I mean, Misha Cirkunov.
You think even if he loses this one, he's not out of the top 5?
Well, I don't think he will lose this fight. But Misha Cirkunov is super a top contender. He's got super 4. I don't know what I was going with that. It is quite the top contender, the finisher in the UFC. He's got 4 finishing wins in his light heavyweight career. Before coming off that loss to Volkanovski in the first round, which was, you know, some could say that's a fluke. I mean, he got caught like super early. And,
bro,
you know,
that's Volkan, though.
That's what Volkan does, you know what I mean? Whereas we have Teixeira, who's coming off that loss against Gustafsson, which, honestly, dude, that might be like one of my contenders for knockout of the year also. The 3 uppercuts and then the boom.
Yeah, we're going to have to discuss that.
You know what I'm saying? Well, we will discuss that. But he's 4-2 in his last 7 fights, or last 6 fights, rather. So, I mean, I'm going to take Glover in this one. You know, I think he's going to get it done and make his statement in the top 5 of where he is. You know, just, I think he's going to keep that record alive. Misha, though, like I said, super top contender, but I think Glover gets it done.
I'm going to go ahead and pick Misha Cirkunov in this one. ANA MMA going to disagree on this one, and Slim's going with Glover Teixeira. I'm going with Misha Cirkunov. In the next fight, Slim's boy.
Oh, my God. I cannot wait for this one. Santiago.
Whoa.
Santiago Ponzinibbio.
There we go.
Is that his name? Gentle Boa?
Yeah,
Gente Boa. Ah, the Argentinian against Mike Platinum Perry. My man.
Oh.
You don't like Mike Perry?
I mean, he's whatever.
Dude, Mike Perry's only loss was against who'd he fight? That one like super good striker. Alan Jordan.
Juban,
I'm sorry, yes. He looked super nice in that fight, and Juban is not bad on the commentary either, just saying. But huge test for him against Ponzinibbio. Mike Perry is actually bumped out of the welterweight rankings right now. Let me see who bumped him out, because he was number 15 that I last recalled. Yancy Medeiros is now number 15. So bumping out Mike Perry, I don't know, man. His knockout against what's his name? Fucking Jake Ellenberger. That to me is one of my contestants for knockout of the year also. So I don't know. I'm gonna take Mike Perry in this one.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one.
Oh, you're not going against Ponzinibbio? I thought you would go against Ponzinibbio.
Why would I go against Ponzinibbio?
Because you look so good against Gunny. I don't know. And he's on 5 wins in a row.
Yeah. I just think Perry is the Ponzinibbio has shown that he's prone to being knocked out, and Mike Perry finishes literally every single one of his fights by knockout. So
you're very right. But yeah, I think this is like the one. This is the one to watch out for.
In the next fight, Ricardo Lamas, who was supposed to be fighting Jose Aldo, gets a fucking bone and a half thrown to him.
My God, dude.
What kind of fucking fill-in is Josh Emmett, bro? That's the best you guys could give us, really?
That's it? For real?
God damn. I mean, no hate on Josh Emmett, but hate. God damn.
Isn't he just... Oh, he's coming off a win against Felipe Arantes?
Yeah.
In October. I mean, we watched that one. It was a good win. I mean, he definitely dominated that fight, but against number 3 in the world, Ricardo Lamas. Come on.
I'm going Ricardo Lamas.
I mean, hey, Josh Emmett, to his credit, he is 12-1. I mean, he's only lost once in his MMA career, and it was against Desmond Green, who is a, you know, super good fighter in his own right. But man, so wait, is he dropping down? Did he fight Felipe at 145? He must have, yeah. So he apparently dropped down. So this is his second fight at 145.
This is his return. Yeah, this is his second fight at featherweight. So
nice.
I'm picking Ricardo Lamas in this one.
I'm going to have to do the same. I mean, you bet against Ricardo Lamas.
ANA MMA official pick. We're going with Ricardo Lamas. In the main event of the evening, what about we got here?
Oh,
we
my
got
God. What a story behind it, too.
Ruthless Robbie Lawler going up against Rafael RDA Dos Anjos.
Dos Anjos been on a absolute tear since moving to the welterweight division. He's beat Tarek Saffedin by unanimous decision, who, you know, I remember me and you watching that fight. We were like, Dos Anjos looks okay. You know, it looks all right. But then he went against Neil Magny and just totally dominated that fight. He took him down.
Performance
got him
of the night.
Yeah, got him in submission and made it look easy. But this is a huge step up for him. I mean, Robbie Lawler was the former champ, and he's been in the UFC. Let me see when his first fight was in the UFC, Robbie Lawler. I think it was like UFC 40, something ridiculous like that, like something forever ago. 2002, UFC 37.
Yeah.
My man has been in the UFC for almost, 18 years? 17 years?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Long ass time.
It's insane. Like, Robbie Lawler is the truth. And Rafael Dos Anjos, this is a huge test for him. He was, he had huge success at lightweight. At one time, he was on a 4-fight win streak, lost against Khabib, came back on a 5-fight win streak, also getting the belt and defending the belt, ended up losing to Eddie Alvarez, ended up losing to Tony Ferguson, and then now finding the success at welterweight, so... You know, I'm pulling for Rafael Dos Anjos. I think he's been doing great as of late. But, I mean, how do you go against Ruthless Robbie Lawler?
I don't know, man. It's going to be a good fight, that's for sure. You can guarantee yourself that. But
Robbie's got 3 inches of height and 4 inches of reach on him.
Bro, I got to go with motherfucking Rafael Dos Anjos. He's just too hot right now.
Woo! Ruthless.
Damn, ANA MMA going to disagree on the main event. That's always fun.
Ooh, it's gonna be a good one.
Slim's gonna pick Ruthless Robbie Lawler, and I'm going with Rafael Dos Anjos.
Yes,
we'll see
sir.
What happens. A lot of disagreements on that one, Slim.
You know what I'm saying? We're out here.
So that was UFC on Fox. Lawler versus Dos Anjos.
Yes, sir.
AKA UFC on Fox 26.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You got any news or anything like that, Slim?
So I had texted you this earlier on the UFC Fight Night 123 card, Swanson Ortega. I don't remember what fight it was specifically, but I seen a familiar face in the cage with the fighters. And it was Frank Trigg.
Yeah.
Bearded Frank Trigg. What do you think about bearded Frank Trigg?
Handsome. Dashing.
You know what I mean? First of all, he looked great. Second of all, apparently... He wanted to get back into the ring in some way, and Big John McCarthy had told him, like, yo, why don't you try to be, like, an official or something like that? So he did. He tried out, and my man is back in there.
Lo and behold.
And he did good. I mean, in the fight that he refereed, I forget which one it was, but I know he did good. He had some good calls. He didn't, like...
He actually ref 2 fights.
Okay. And he wasn't, like, that old guy. Who's like, oh, yeah, yo.
Mark Heyman or whatever?
Yeah, continue the action. Come on, guys. I need to see something. And, like, these guys were working. I don't know. Whatever. But, Frank Trigg in the commissioner career. I dig that.
Commissioner career.
You know what I mean?
Yo. Someone just pulled up Wild Brazy at Lousy Weather Media Studios. So, if you hear gunshots, we just got popped on. These motherfuckers are out for us.
Hey.
You fucking bitch.
You know what I'm saying?
Top UFC prospect, who has not arrived just yet, Mackenzie Dern.
Yeah.
Has moved to 5-0. A lot of people can't wait to see her get into the UFC. Me included.
Where does she fight at normally?
She fights at the ONE Championship, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay. The one that Ben Askren...
Is that Sean?
...retired from.
Oh, shit, bro. Fuck. Should we just, like... Should we just sneak out the back door?
Oh, she's actually
afraid of you.
At Invicta. Yeah, I was acting. You remember when your mom used to come in and your friend was there and he's not supposed to be, and you're like, "Yo, dude, hurry up, fucking run out that back door, bro."
Well, we got permission.
Yo, Sean, I went to the Winking Liz the other day. Shit was fire. I got them Chipotle tacos.
Oh shit! And some other news. Stipe Miocic will officially defend his belt against Francis Ngannou on January 20th at UFC 220.
ANA calls another one. Didn't we call two things on our last show?
Yeah, we got
fucking Monty Damas and Slim Malio. Galileo wasn't even a fucking...
No, he was an astronomer.
Monty Damas, yeah.
What? Also, on that card, Daniel Cormier will defend his UFC light heavyweight title since getting it back for the first time from the DQ into John Jones against Volkan Oezdemir, who is my vote for breakout fighter of the year.
Well, way to ruin it, Slim. Announcement for breakout fighter of the year candidate. Vulcan Oezdemir.
Could be Ortega, too. I mean, there's a lot that I got on my mind. I'm just saying this is my, what's it called? First pick. Maybe. Draft pick? I don't, what do you call this?
What, our A&A Mies?
My winner right now, I guess you'd call it. Yeah, for the A&A Mies.
Your front runner?
Front runner. That's the one.
Okay.
That's the word.
Doubt.
Anyway, also, GSP, like we said last week, officially is gone. He said, "Yo, I don't want to hold up the division. Mm-hmm. I don't want to like, you know, tie up, you know, blah 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 blah." So, Luke Rockhold steps up to fight Robert Whittaker for the official middleweight title of the world.
Yeah, we have a new champion. Well, and we didn't even get to discuss it. We have a new undisputed champion of the...
Is it official? Is he the official champ?
Yeah.
Or is this
GSP,
fight going to determine?
GSP vacated the title. That shit's gone.
So does that mean Whittaker automatically assumes the championship role?
Yeah, he's the champion, bruh.
Is that how it goes?
Who else has a belt other than Whittaker?
That's what I'm saying. Is this fight for the official belt?
Or does he automatically... Yeah, it's for the official belt.
I guess we'll have to see.
You're confusing me.
I guess we'll have to see when the rankings come out, but I'm just saying.
No, we won't. I'm telling you what's happening.
They might consider Whittaker the interim champ until he beats Rockhold. You know what I'm saying?
No. No. Okay. Whittaker is the undisputed champion of the middleweight division right now.
Well, then Australia gets its first ever UFC champ.
Big shout out to Australia. Putting out big, great fighters.
And the fight in, what is it, Perth?
Perth.
Hell yeah.
Australia.
Can't wait to see that one.
That's going to be interesting. They're going to be doing wild shit down there in Australia.
So, as for, like, looking into 2018, there's not that many fight announcements. There's not that many fight announcements, which...
2018 or 2019?
No, I'm saying looking into 2018.
Oh, 2018.
I mean, we got, like, Whittaker versus... Jacare, that's going to be a good one. We got a fight night right after that, whose main event is to be determined. It's got Sean Jordan on it.
I just want to get you a little excited real quick.
Son. Okay, go ahead.
I just want to tell you everybody who's going to be on UFC 219.
Oh, I know.
Which, I just want to give you guys a full disclosure, that UFC 219 will not be included in the A&Amies. We won't be able to record it that late.
No, unfortunately. So.
I mean, we're going to be missing a lot of shit, though. We got fucking Khalil Roundtree, Omari Akhmedov, Rick Glenn versus Miles Jury.
Yes.
Kamaru Usman versus Emil Meek.
Thank God they made that happen because Meek finally got his visa, so that fight is official.
That shit's going to be fire. Mark Diakasi versus Dan Hooker. Carlos Condit versus Neil Magny.
The comeback.
Cynthia Calvillo,
undefeated girl,
going for her what, like fifth win in the UFC this year,
what was it like? She was coming off like what, a five fight win streak in like 6 months or something like that? Like something ridiculous?
The winner of Jimmy Rivera and John Lineker, who's going to fight Brian Ortega.
Oh, my God.
We got Khabib versus Edson Barboza.
The next one to fight Tony.
And then the greatest women's fight you can put together. Oh, God, I can't wait.
Holly Holm versus Chris Cyborg.
That shit's going to be so
I don't even know. I can't even predict this one.
That's going to be a good one. We can't wait. Sean, you got anything you want to talk about? Nope. Sean's good.
Okay.
I did have something I wanted Sean to give us his perspective on, but I can't remember. That was like 4 days ago when I was thinking about that shit.
Oh. All right.
So fuck that.
What do you think about the UFC like trying to get into boxing?
I think that shit's whack. The UFC is not boxing.
I think it's whack too. I mean, I don't think they need to get in that avenue at all. If they want to, you know, maybe put a fighter up against a boxer and co-promote and make some money like they did with the Conor thing, that's fine. If they want to put Stipe or Francis against like an Anthony Joshua or who's the bronze bomber?
Deontay Wilder.
Yeah. That's fine. That's cool. That's a fun thing. It's cross promotion. It gets both, like, you know, both. Like I know, as a pure MMA fan, I've watched some big boxing fights a little more than I would have normally if Conor didn't step in the ring, because like I appreciate it a little bit more. You know, I watched the one that happened Saturday. What was that one? I forget their names.
Vasyl Lomachenko versus Guillermo Rigondo.
Yeah, and looking that up and just to see like what, you know, what happened, and I can appreciate, you know, the art of boxing.
Yeah, because Vasyl is the best boxer out here, pound for pound.
But like I'm saying, I didn't know who he was before I seen the headlines and blah blah blah. You know what I mean?
So, that's Wagner's favorite. Oh yeah, and Zach Wagner's not here because Slim canceled. I didn't cancel,
bro. I had to worry. It's holiday hours. Once Christmas is over, I'll be back to normal time. We'll be releasing an episode every Monday. Well, technically Sunday night, but Monday
if you're listening,
is when you'll hear it.
And the A and Amy's will be live.
The start to your week.
A and Amy's will be live on lousyweathermedia.com, all that good shit. And we might also have a live video feed going, so be on the lookout for that.
All that bullshit.
Eat my ass. We can't end the show on eat my ass.
I was going to say, what do you mean, bro? Oh, something I had to... I don't know if I mentioned this. I don't think I did on air.
Why is your face breaking out right now?
Where?
Dude, I feel like something's going on with the right side of your face. It's starting to scare me, Slim.
Stop. One of my, Amanda, what's her name?
Oh, who you about to call out?
What was her name? Alexis Davis. Boom. This blows up.
Oh, you called yourself Alexis Davis. That's funny.
Oh, shit. No, a fight I posted on Facebook and got no response. Not even a like. Not even a nothing. I want to see Joanna Jędrzejczyk versus Valentina Shevchenko. At 125 pounds.
I bet you just got so many people hyped up by saying that.
Dude. You know what I'm saying?
That is a match to make.
If they listen this long. I mean, we're only at an hour and 15 minutes. This is like a record.
15?
This is a record time for
an hour and 15 minutes? Get the fuck out of here.
Cut through some shit real quick.
Wow. That's amazing.
You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah. Fuck yeah, dude.
You know what I'm saying?
That's quality shit right there. Good for us.
Quality. Quick and quality. That's what we're about.
I didn't have too many jokes today, you guys. My bad. I've been just mad fried today, so you know I'll have mad jokes ready for you guys next week.
Is that the secret to a quick episode?
Just having
Sean O'Malley coming in and just
and bouncing,
yeah, getting you super fried.
Yeah, O'Malley got me way too high. Yeah. He let me hit the dab rig, and
that's what happens.
I've just been so fried since.
That's the way
he did
goes.
Slam the door a little bit too hard, though, yeah, and I'm pretty sure he said smoke weed every day when he walked out.
Is that what he said? I thought he said fuck A&A MMA.
I think he said fuck A&A MMA, and then he said smoke weed every day and bounced.
Wow. Well, we won't be supporting that guy anymore.
I mean, he's cool.
I'm kidding. Shout out Sean O'Malley. Oh, Jesus golly, Jays.
This was the Ray Allen episode, because remember, we're splashing your bitches' pussies from deep.
All right. And with that, we will see you guys
bang!
Next
swish!
Week. This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.